God is good?
All the time.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're very welcome, man. You know what? I knew there was going to be lots in the house this morning. Because we were all cooped in all the week, weren't we? We had cabin fever going on in my house. Didn't know what end was in or out or up. Or, but God is good, amen. And you know what? He's here. And he wants to do things in our lives. And if you're open to him, he's open to do it for you.
Amen.
When Gail was talking about the shower, before she got up, I had this thought that, you know what, there's as much as we want. There's as much of God as we want. And we have to just keep asking God to remove the barriers or remove the things that cause us not to be fully connecting or fully receiving of what he has for us. Sometimes we can search and look and find all types of things that we can't, we say, why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? And sometimes we don't genuinely know, and sometimes we do know. But if you ask him, he will do what he wants to do in your life if you're open to it. And Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your life given for us so that we may have your life living through us, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for your anointing, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your freedom, Jesus. Liberate us. Liberate us this morning, Lord. Revelation of who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. Eyes be opened, ears hear, mind conceive, heart experience what God has for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I asked you this morning, what does the blood of Jesus mean to you, or what does the power of the blood of Jesus mean to you? You may have an answer or you may not have an answer. Some may say, well, it means my sins are forgiven, and that's true. If I ask you to explain that or explain that to a person beside you or a family member, can you explain the virtue and the value and the power of the blood of Jesus? And I've two goals over the next 2 weeks. One is to give us a fuller understanding of the precious blood of Jesus and how it can work wonders and bring wonderfully changes into our world and into our life. And the second is that when I looked at the scriptures, that every time the blood is pronounced, or every time there's an enactment of the blood in the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament with a sacrifice or in the New Testament with Jesus and all the way through, everywhere that the blood was proclaimed, that the word of God fell. That the word of heaven came and sealed up the sacrifice or the covenant or the truth that was being laid down with a blood sacrifice. And I liked Mal's video that says, like, blood, some people see blood and they faint. In a world today, you know, they don't want to talk about the cross and the blood. Because it's not nice, is it? It's not politically correct. It flies in the face of religion and it flies in the face of human thinking. That this pitiful looking sight on a cross could end up being the very act that liberates the world and liberates people. The Paul says that to the wise it's like foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's absolutely incredible that those who just want to think it through struggle with it. But those who accept it find the liberation that is in the blood that was shed on the cross. And you can't minimize it. And you can't dishonor it. And you can't neglect it. Because you will never know the power of it. In the Old Testament, there's a symbolic act, well, a real act for the Israelites were symbolic of what was to come with Jesus and the blood of Jesus. The people of God was in captivity. The Egyptians had them. I think it was 400 years of slavery. You know, and sometimes you read the Bible and you go, well, it mightn't have been that bad. You know, sometimes we sanitize it all. Like, you know, I've never heard slaves saying we had it good. And if you see movies or you read acts of slavery throughout history, you realize it was a cruel, demeaning, spirit-breaking, soul-destroying predicament to find yourself in. And the people of God was in this predicament of slavery. And they called out to God. And God answered their call, because God always hears the cry of people. Especially the downtrodden. Especially the broken. When they reach out and go, is there an answer? God's like, I'm going to send someone into your path. That's how I think we all became Christians. That someone came into our path when we asked a question. Is this all there is to life? I'm going to send someone by to tell you there's more to life. I'm going to tell someone to invite you somewhere. But they cried out, and God calls Moses. I'm going to have to speed it up. God calls Moses. Moses was a prince of Egypt who was whose mother was a Hebrew, that they were going to kill all the firstborns of the Israelites. The mother wanted to save Moses. She put him in the basket, put him in the river Nile, and he went down the Nile. And God guided that little basket with the little baby in it right to Pharaoh's daughter, where she was bathing in the river. She took him in as his own. He was raised as one of Pharaoh's own, educated with the education of Egypt and all the trappings that comes with being a prince. And yet inside of him, he knew that wasn't his destiny. Yet there was something in him that, without anyone explaining to him, that he knew it wasn't his destiny. And it ended up that he seen two Egyptians, a fight going on, and he murdered somebody. He ended up having to go on the run. He's 40 years of age. He goes for on the run for 40 more years, 80 years of age. He's walking up minding sheep from the palace to minding sheep. Now, that's a demotion in some people's eyes, but in God's eyes, it was actually, he was on his way to his promotion. And because sometimes we think the palace is our destination when it's really the desert, and the desert is a roundabout place to get us to where we need to be in God. So don't despise where you're at if God has you where you're at. And go, no, if we can only get there. Well, get there first. Because on his way, when he was there, God met him in a bush. And God spoke to him. He says, I'm going to send you in, and you're going to bring Pharaoh and Egypt to heel. You're going to bring them down. You're going to be the one. And in the end, he agrees with God, and he goes back in, and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, and he spoke directly to Pharaoh, and he wouldn't let them go. And in the end, God says, I'm going to show Pharaoh who's boss. And he brings 10 plagues upon the household of Egypt, and upon the land of Egypt, and upon the people of Egypt. And he says, the last one was the angel of death was going to go by. And God says, this is what you have to do. You have to get the blood of a spotless, unblemished lamb. And you have to put the blood in the basin. And on this night, you have to get the hyssop, and you have to dip her in, and you have to put the blood over the lintel of your door. And when the blood is applied to the lintel of the door, the angel that comes by, the angel of death, that destruction and disaster will not come near your door, but will come to those who don't love me, who hate me, who don't think I'm real, and whose Pharaoh is after making a judgment come upon all of the people. Now, if that blood was left in the basin, if that blood would have been just left there, it wouldn't have had any power whatsoever. Because God didn't say the blood is to be left in the basin. That the blood had to be applied. It had to be dipped in and pour over the lintel of the doorposts. It had to have relevance. It had to have, the only time it would have relevance was when it would be applied. The only time it would have power was when it would have significance when it was applied. The importance of the blood is seen in the application of the blood over the door. It will not accomplish its purpose if it's left in the basin. And the same with us as Christians. The best we probably will go for when we say, like when I say the power of the blood, or we speak about the power of the blood, we think, yeah, it's about the forgiveness of my sin. But I want to tell you and show you over these next couple of weeks that it's more to the blood than just the forgiveness of your sin and of my sin. And if we don't know or understand what the blood is and has for us in our lives, we will never be able to take it out of the basin, so to speak, and to apply it to our lives and to the lentils of who we are, onto the doorposts of who we are. If we don't understand, in fact, the application of the blood is the enforcing of the benefits and the power and the redemption and salvation of the sacrifice of Jesus that was made available to us. A couple of weeks ago, up in the intercession room, I'm 21 years a Christian now, so I call myself an old Pentecostal Christian. And you understand by now, being a Christian, there's different streams of Christianity. There's Baptists and Methodists and people who believe in what Jesus done on the cross for them and ask him to be their personal savior. We know there's all different types of streams. And I thank God that I was brought to a Pentecostal church. Because the reason for this, there's lots to say that is that you could say, my goodness, a Pentecostal church, they're a bit wild. They believe in the things of the Spirit. They speak in tongues. There's all types of things that people see as a negative about the Pentecostal church. But I want to tell you, I love the Pentecostal church. I love the fact that we want to go for it all. I love the fact that when we read it in Acts, we read it in the Gospels, we went, Jesus, we want the whole package. We don't want it to be left half. We don't want to get to heaven and he says, you know what, I had a well for you and you didn't even empty it. In fact, you didn't even take a thimble of water out of what I had for you. We want to get to heaven and we want God to say, you've drained it dry. That you believed me for everything. You believed me for anything. You believed that when I said something, you went for it. And I'm not saying the rest doesn't. I just know that when I went to a church, it was Pentecostals, and we did. And we do. Amen? But in Pentecostal circles, we used to use this term, and it's lovely. That when there's something going wrong, we'd plead the blood of Jesus. We'd plead the blood. A couple of weeks ago in intercession, the Lord says, I don't want you to plead the blood anymore now. Like, Lord, I'm a Pentecostal. We plead the blood. And the Lord says, I want you to claim what the blood has already bought. Because when you lay claim to what was already bought, you're enforcing the power of the blood of Jesus and the truth. Are you with me? So pleading is like being in a court case. Please, God, please, God. And God is like, Jesus done it all on the cross now. You're pleading for something you already have. You're pleading for something that was already given to the church. You're pleading for my presence when the blood of Jesus has already secured an open heaven for you according to Hebrews. You're pleading for this. No, what you have to do is be like a warrior. You have to enforce what's already after being won. You have to take it and go, no, this is what the Bible says. You need to use it against the power of darkness. You need to use it against when you're under attack. You need to use it against your own intellect, because your own intellect will try and make it foolishness. And try and make it sanitized. But there was nothing sanitized about a bloody cross. Nothing whatsoever. The blood of Jesus, that we have to push for it through, that claiming and proclaiming the blood of Jesus is declaring the victory that Jesus has already won for us. His blood has prevailed. And instead of the plea and the pleading of the blood, that the blood should be like a battle cry. It should be like, I proclaim the victory of the blood of Jesus over my life. I am blood washed, blood bought, blood justified, blood saved, blood ransomed, blood healed, blood reconciled, blood realigned with Jesus. All that he has is what he has given to me. And it's only when I enforce it into my life can I really, really take it out of the basin and apply it over areas of my life that God has won. I want us to get understanding of it. I want us to become absolutely radical, shocking holy saints. I want us this new year to come in where we know who we are, and therefore we can apply what Jesus has already won for us in our lives, because if it's not in our lives, how can we offer it to anyone else? Another purpose of these sermons will be that we will receive the power that comes after claiming the power that's in the blood of Jesus. And that we will see the word of God come when we claim what has already been won. God always seals a covenant with fire. There's always blood from the beginning. Read the Bible from the beginning in the garden. When they came out, Abraham, he makes a promise with Abraham. Go to the land, I'm going to show you. He seals a covenant with Abraham. Abraham gets an animal. He sacrifices it. He cuts it in two. And this is the way they used to seal the covenants, the agreement. That God says, you do this and I will do this. You do this and I will do this. Abraham, I will make you a blessing to the nations. I'll bless everyone that blesses you. Abraham, you do this now and I will do all of that. And Abraham kills an animal, sacrifices to God. He walks through the sacrifice, and that's him sealing his part of it. And then God comes with a flaming torch, and God seals his end of it. If you go to Elijah up on the hill, there was a blood sacrifice, all the goats. He calls on God. God comes with fire. On the hill of Calvary, there was blood shed for you and me, nails in his hands, his feet, spear in his side, thorns on his head. He bled for you and me, his blood dripped. And then after Jesus was raised from the dead, he says, go to the house, go to the upper room, because there's fire going to come to seal what was done on Calvary. It's always done. So when you claim what the blood has done, the fire of God comes in such a way that, like, we say, God, set me on fire, set me on fire. But the blood, it's in the blood, it's in the blood. Everything, the life, that's what the Bible says, is in the blood. Amen. So we have redemption in the blood. Listen to Ephesians. Oh, by the way, Jesus said, that's what I wanted to read for you. In John 19, Jesus was on the cross, and he says, it's finished. See the covenant, and maybe we go into this, the covenant that Abraham made with God, and God made with Abraham. It was, in the Old Testament, the covenants were like this. If you do this, I do this. It's a contract. Now, if you break your side of the contract, the other party is no longer obligated to their side of the contract. Yeah? It's still the same today. So when God made a covenant with man, when man broke it, that's how you see man getting brought into captivity and all, because God was no longer obligated to the covenant. But the genius of God, remember this, Trish? The genius of God, he made a covenant with his son Jesus. And if you read through the Old Testament, you'll see the covenant conditions. If you do this, Jesus, you leave heaven, you go to earth, become the man of sorrows. Your own creation will beat you. Your own creation will spit on you. Your own creation will pull your beard out, Jesus. Your own creation will mock you. They will set up trump charges against you. They will say that you have a devil, Jesus. Jesus, you'll end up going to the cross. You'll end up being crucified. You'll end up taking the sins of the world upon yourself, Jesus. And Jesus says, okay. But the Father says, no, Jesus. Now, when you do that, Jesus, anyone that comes to me, I won't cast them away. Jesus, if you do that, I will fill everyone who comes to me up with the Holy Spirit. That Jesus, whoever comes to me because of what your part of the contract is, no one be able to snatch them from my hand. That their names be written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, Jesus, if you do this, I will do this. Jesus says, all right. Jesus is, you know, he's in the garden. Father, is there any other way? This is rough. This is hard. He knew what he was going to face. But he says, not my will, but thy will be done. So he gets on the cross. He completes all of his side of the contract. So he hangs there and he goes, Father, it's finished. It's a done deal. I completed every part of mine. And then Father says, I will complete every single part of mine. I will in no way cast anyone out. I'll fill them with my Holy Spirit. I'll write my word on their heart. I will never leave them nor forsake them. I will walk with them always. I will be their Father. I will always be there. I'll provide for them because you've done that, Jesus. Now, here's the genius of God. So he makes it with man and man fails it. So God was no longer obligated. But God makes it with man. Jesus, who was fully man and fully God. So God makes the covenant with himself. So therefore, the covenant can never be broken. That's why God will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. The genius of God, he fulfilled all of his own requirements to make you with man, but he made it with himself so it can never be broken. So if you're living here today thinking, God has forsaken me, can I tell you something? You're living under a lie. So let's get the lie sorted. If you think that God doesn't love you, I want to tell you you're living under a lie. If you think that the Father doesn't want you to be his daughter or son, you're living under a lie. It's finished. It's finished. Jesus said, it is finished. So in the blood we have redemption. Redemption, it says in Ephesians, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1:7, if you're taking notes, please read these scriptures when you go home. Make these scriptures your life. In him, Ephesians 1 verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us because with all wisdom and understanding. What does redemption mean? It means salvation. It means to redeem something, that to pay for something, to purchase something, to buy something back that he has. It means to bring deliverance, to bring release, to bring liberation, to bring recovery. Redemption means that there was something lost or something that needed to be bought for. It says his blood bought redemption, bought deliverance, bought salvation, and bought release for me and you. In his blood, you have redemption. So if you think there's no hope for you, you need to enforce the scripture and the power of the blood into that area of your life. Because you've already been redeemed. It's already a done act. It's already, it is finished. It is not waiting to be finished. It is already finished. The blood brought us reconciliation. For God was pleased, Colossians 1 verse 19. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. That reconciliation means a bringing together. That through his blood that was shed on the cross, that we who were estranged from God, we who were far away from God, we who were an enemy of God by the way we lived, by the way we behaved, by the way we treated ourselves and treated our relationship with God. That it says in him that these two things that were far away, that the cross and the blood brought them together, and that there was a settlement done. It was paid in full. It was like there's no barriers between us and God anymore. Only the ones that we allow to exist, because the blood of Jesus has the power to smash walls to smithereens. It blasts them out of the way. That sin and all of its fullness was before me and God and between me and God, and the blood of Jesus and the power of the blood just goes, get out of the way, and God comes in and we come into God's presence. We've been reconciled. God is not at war with us. He is not at war with you or me. He's at peace. And as Peter always says, are you at peace with God? My goodness, if I was sitting down there, I'd be taking notes on myself. There's forgiveness in the blood. Reconciliation is done because of an act of forgiveness. There's definite forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. This is the basic message of Christianity, that God the Father sent his only begotten Son to earth in physical form to die on a cross in order to save us and give us total and permanent forgiveness for all of our sins. Amen. It says in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Every sin. You think, oh, you know, you don't know what I've done. The blood of Jesus already paid for that sin.
already paid for it because it was a done deal. It is finished. He took that sin on himself. If you're carrying the sin around, it's because we choose to carry the sin around, because the Son of God already took the sins of the world upon himself. And how we come into alignment with God is to say, I accept that you've done this for me. I confess that I am a sinner. I accept your forgiveness. I accept the new life that's in the blood of Jesus. And if we're not enforcing that into our lives, sin rules. Sin reigns. And you'll be saying, I wish I was living at 100%, but I'm only living at 10. All I can do as a preacher is preach the word to you. The preaching of the word should bring faith into your heart. And out of that faith, there should be an action of applying what you hear. But if you're not applying it, you're being robbed. It doesn't only bring redemption and reconciliation, it brings relationship. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away has been brought near through the blood of Jesus. That it doesn't just bring some religious act, it brings us into direct relationship with God. It brings us into the place where we can sit and have fellowship with God. The blood brings us that we are far away. Do you feel far away today? Apply the blood. The blood says, like, it's like I've seen, like when I was reading this, it's like, oh, people are over there, and the blood is like, come here. And it's bringing us back. And we start applying and claiming that the blood, I shouldn't be far away, because the blood has caused me to be near to God. And then you start coming back to God and moving. And all of your mind and your enemy and your failures and the things in your head and the things in the world will be saying, no, come back to us. But the blood is powerful. The blood, that's why when we go far away, we always come back, because of the power of the blood that brings us near to God. So if I'm sitting at home and I'm like, Lord, I don't feel you near, it's not because he's near. It's because I have to claim the ground of nearness to God. He says to Moses, there's a place beside me for you, Moses. That's what he said. There's a place beside me for you, Moses. And if Moses wouldn't have stepped onto that ground, he wouldn't have known the nearness. And the Bible says that because of the blood of Jesus, me and God are best mates. And I need to apply myself to that friendship. I need to apply what the blood has won for me already. I'm not going to God just as a priest. I'm going to him as a friend. I'm not just going to him as a friend. I'm going to him as my father. It brings you into direct relationship with who God is. It brings you into relationship. It brings you into realignment with the purposes of God. Listen to Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. The blood of Jesus repositions us to be servants of God. That we were brought away by acts of our conscience and acts that we want to do this and we want. Do you know this as a person? You're drawn to do the wrong things, aren't you? In fact, it's not actually hard to do the wrong things at times. The things that lead us astray, but leads to death. It leads to broken down relationships. But here's the power of the blood of Jesus. It cleanses our conscience. It cleanses us that those acts are a thing of the past. And that when they knock at the door, the blood is applied to the temptation. And that there's no space in your conscience anymore for that act. That's gone. It's been washed, bought, won over by the blood of Jesus. Why? So that you can serve God. So that's what it says, so that we may serve the living God. That our guilty conscience will try bring us away. But when our guilty conscience brings us to God, it's done its job. When our guilty conscience brings, I need God, I need forgiveness. Amen. Thanks, guilty conscience. Now see you. Now I'm bringing you under the blood.
Because you have done your job by bringing me near to God. But now that I've confessed that and believe that God has forgiven me, see, you don't serve any purpose in my life anymore. But you did serve a purpose. But some of us stay away from God because of our guilty conscience. But our guilty conscience, like a good kick, is like, get back to God. Get into that place with God so that you can get your conscience cleansed by the blood of Jesus, so that your these acts that leads to death will no longer lead you that way anymore, because your guilty conscience has served its purpose. And when you come back for reconciliation and forgiveness, you're back in relationship. So that we can serve God. It brings us into realignment with the purposes of God. And it gives us right of entry. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have great priests over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full of assurance, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. It says that we can have confidence because of the blood of Jesus to have access, the right of entry into the very presence of God. Into the very presence of God. It says in Hebrews as well that the blood of Cain killed Abel, was it? Yeah. That the blood of Cain speaks and it asks for revenge. But it says the blood of Jesus speaks louder and calls out for mercy. So I have this picture of like Jesus at the door. And we walk into the presence of God and our guilty conscience and our failures try to keep us out. And even the enemy tries to keep you out. And Jesus is like, no, they can come in. They've already been paid for. They've already been paid for. Do you get me? And the blood is crying out, no, they're guilty. And the voice of Jesus, the blood of Jesus louder. Now paid in full. Do you know what he done? Yeah, I felt every bit of it, but still paid in full. He can come right into the throne room of God. That the only person that will stop me from going in is me. Amen. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That we may receive grace, find mercy, receive grace in our time of need. So when you or I have a time of need, what do we do? When we need forgiveness, what do we do? When we fail, what do we do? When we feel we're in direct conflict with God, what do we do? Do we say, the blood has no consequence in my life? Or do we as a people, as Christians, say, I am availing of the blood of Jesus and the power and the rewards and the benefits that is in the blood of Jesus for my life. So if we're in need this morning, the Bible says you can boldly come before the throne of grace. And it says receive. Receive. Receive grace for what you're going through. Receive grace for your time. Receive grace for to make it to the next place. To receive mercy in your life. Because even when you talk about relationship with God, if we're just doing the religious thing, you're not availing of what the blood of Jesus has availed already for you. So if it's just about doing religious thing, being robbed. One drop of the blood of Jesus is sufficient. One drop of the blood of Jesus. Finish with this story. A man called Mahesh Shafter. I think he was from Ballybuck. I think he's somewhere around there. He's a great man for the fasting, actually. Mahesh Shafter. Fast 40 days, like drop of a chop. I've seen him before and he was about 20 stone of sin, the next time he's about 8. My goodness, what's wrong with this man? But he goes on extended fast, seeking God, waiting on God. See, fast has to have a purpose. I want more of God. I'm seeking God for an answer. It's always, there's something on the other side of the fast. And but anyway, he said he was speaking in Zaire in Africa. And he goes and he's speaking and he got word, like 1,500 people came to know Jesus in the first night, by the way, of the crusade. And but he was told that the witch doctors were coming to get him. The witch doctors. And he was like, got a bit scary because, see, the witch doctors, it's not like what we see on the telly. Like, the people over there really, really die because of curses the witch doctors put on them. And they have huge sway and huge power in the community. And the pastors that was involved in the crusade went to Mahesh and said, what would we do? We need to cancel it. He's like, we can't cancel it. I don't know what we're going to do, but we can't cancel it. And he went before the Lord, and the Lord says to him, we're going to have a mass deliverance tonight. We're going to deliver every single person from the power of the devil tonight. And he's like, can we have her another night? Because the witch doctors are coming tonight. And he said he was genuinely afraid. And he's like, the Lord kept convincing him, I want it done tonight. And the Lord says to him, I'm going to show you the power of one drop of the blood of my son. So he got confidence in that. And then the pastors came and they heard that the witch doctors had asked all the witch doctors in the country nearly, or at least in their region, to come and to pray and to cast put curses on the preachers and to put curses on the people that would come. And when that gets into the community, there's awful fear that comes with that because they see the reality of all of this that we read about. And so he got told there was 800 witch doctors coming that night. So he went back to the Lord and he says, Lord, there's 800 of them. The Lord says, I'm going to show you the power of one drop of my son's blood. And Shafda says when he got up there, he said he's seen like around the place, like there was thousands of people. And he's seen around the place. He said he's seen like a wall, like of the blood of Jesus around the place. He says everything was red when he stood up there. And he preached and then he says, now I'm going to deliver you from the power of the devil. The power of witchcraft, the power of demons, everything that's in your past, everything that's in your generation. He says the blood of Jesus is going to be applied. Because remember last week I told you our revelations. It says this, that the blood of Jesus goes all the way, that Jesus was crucified in Sodom and in Egypt. Now we know he wasn't crucified in Sodom or in Egypt. But what he's trying to convey is that the blood of Jesus goes all the way back. All the way back. Every sin that was ever committed is under the blood of Jesus. He paid the price for every single sin. So the blood of Jesus goes all the way to Sodom. You think you can't get away from sexual perversion or sexual addiction? The blood of Jesus goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to Egypt. You think he can't change your thinking that you are worshiping dumb, stupid idols, that you are following the ways of the world? He says the blood can go all the way back there. And he says, Shafda gets up and he says the blood of Jesus is going to deliver you from every single sin, every power, every demonic influence is going to break over your life. And he said a simple prayer, Father, by the blood of Jesus, I release these people. He spoke out, devil, I bind you, the power of the blood is against you. And he says, they all fell down, every single one of them. He says that the people got delivered, there were screeches, people rolling around the ground, but they got up. And they moved out, because they were delivered. Now, if he didn't enforce it, the blood would have been still in the book, so to speak. But because he took God at his word. So how does this apply to us? What about your own life? I'm not saying do 20 days of fasting. I'm saying get a hold of the scriptures. Here's my notes. I'll email them to you. I'll give you everyone the scriptures. And you take and you start applying it to your life. You start applying it. Noel, I feel far away from God. Well, God has not gone anywhere, my friend. And the blood that gives you access is still available and is still powerful. And the blood that speaks louder and says, yeah, you're welcome. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. Do you ever go to a concert? Oh, I went twice and I was on a cover letter. Is that what they call it? You go in, like, it's like you go, well, I went to see Joseph and he put my name down on the thing. And I go in, I go, my name is on the cover. And they look at it, no, Kenny, yeah, go on in. Don't have to pay, don't have to give anything, because the boss said I can go in. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that it's finished. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to pay for my own sin. I thank you that I'm reconciled, I'm forgiven, I'm realigned, Lord. I have access to the throne room of God. I thank you for the liberty and the freedom that I have found in the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the power, Lord, that is in the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that my sins are forgiven, every single one of them, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus not only forgives sins, but breaks the power of sin. It cleanses guilty conscience. It cleanses and breaks down acts that leads to death so that you may serve God. And without going over everything, but maybe just this morning, that you need the blood of Jesus applied to your life. And you need to lay claim to something that you heard. Why don't you stand and I pray? Say, yeah, I need to be near God. I need that broken in my mind. You know what? If something in your life says there's no hope in that area, that's a lie. And we can break that lie this morning. Now, you'll never be free from that. Who told you that? You will never have a healed heart. Who told you that? You will never get away from that sin. Whoever told you that? You will never have a clear mind. Who told you that? You will never be able to come near God. Who told you that? God didn't. The Bible doesn't. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You know, I'll bring it out next week, but there's protection in the blood of Jesus. There's overcoming power in the blood of Jesus. That he didn't just come to redeem people, but he also came to redeem. He says to reconcile all things. To reconcile families. To redeem businesses. Futures. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, this day. And I thank you, Lord, for the power that is in one drop of the blood of Jesus. That it breaks, Father, the power of the enemy. It breaks, Father, the power of the lie. It breaks the power, Lord God, of chains and fetters, O God. Lord, it opens doors. It breaks down barriers, O God. Father, it brings reconciliation. It brings freedom and liberty, Lord God. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for it, Lord. And I just say this day, Lord, over your people. I claim what's in the blood for these people, O God. Lord, I lay claim of healing that's in the blood, Lord. Of freedom that's in the blood, Lord. Of forgiveness that's in the blood, Lord, of reconciliation that's in the blood, Father, of realignment that's in the blood. You feel out of sync with God. You feel you've missed the bow. You feel you've missed the plan. The blood of Jesus brings you back into alignment. And I call you back to that place in the name of Jesus.